Hello, Apostolic Insiders. Welcome to the Staples household on the move. We're actually in the car. You can probably hear the sounds and stuff. We are on our way to Pasadena. I'm going to be doing a radio broadcast for a dear friend from the Knights of Malta. But I just wanted to make three quick points concerning the readings for this, the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Can't believe how time is flying, folks. The first reading from Isaiah chapter 25, what a powerful text. I just want to zero in on these words. He will destroy the veil that veils all people, and he will destroy death. That, of course, is a prophecy in Isaiah 25 of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would break down the wall of partition, as Paul describes it in Ephesians 2:14, between Jew and Gentile. He will destroy the veil of all peoples, not just the veil over the eyes of the Jews who can't see that Jesus is the Messiah, but over all people, as St. Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world hath blinded their eyes. Right? Lest they see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that is able to make them free. That is what we are about as Catholic Christians, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world to open the eyes of the blind. This is something we are absolutely powerless to do apart from the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you meditate on Isaiah 25, at least when I did, that's what comes home to me, is just how absolutely powerless I am to do anything to open anybody's eyes. This is an act of grace. Now, of course, God needs us as instruments to be his instruments, to bring that message, to be sure. But we are in desperate need of Almighty God to empower us to do what we're called to do. And when you think of the insanity we're experiencing now as a culture, with the Black Lives Matter incorporated terrorists and the Antifa terrorists and all the insanity going on in our culture. When we think about what's going on in the church, we have people in the church, attacking Vatican II, attacking Pope Francis, attacking. We are in desperate need of the liberating power of Jesus Christ, who destroys the veil that veils all people. That's point number one. Point number two, there's no doubt Jesus was aiming at the Jews when he gives us his famous parable in Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14, of the king who sends his servants with invitations to invite all to come to a wedding feast. But as you know, when the servants go with the invites, it's interesting the response, right? Because some of them just reject, and they do reject. They don't come, and for various reasons. Some, well, just goes to his farm. This guy goes to his farm, to his business. But notice, he sends the invitations twice. And the second time, not only do they reject, again, not all, some, it was just a matter of indifference. Some say, oh, I got to go to my farm, I got to go to my house, I got to take care of my business. But some actually abuse the king's servants and even kill some of them in their rejection of the king. And of course, the king is enraged. And we know this is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came first to the Jews. He says, I've not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Jesus says in Matthew 15. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We see in John chapter 1. Jesus' heart was for his people. He came to them first. They rejected him. And of course, the king then, enraged, destroys the city. Now, some might think, you know, wow, that's kind of hard. In fact, my daughter Hannah said, Daddy, that's kind of mean. Right, Hannah? Hannah said, that's kind of mean, Dad, because some of them just had to go to work. Right. And I thought that was a really good observation. Yeah. from my 7-year-old daughter, Hannah. But what we had, Mom and I had to point out to Hannah, is that the king represents Jesus Christ. He is Almighty God, and we have an absolute obligation to worship him. We must give everything. Nothing, no one, no thing, no person, nothing can come before our absolute obligation to worship Almighty God. And I want you to notice, even though some of them were just indifferent and said, well, you know, I got to do this. You know, nice invitation and all, but I got to do this. I got to take care of that. And others killed his servants. But I want you to notice that the king burned the entire city. They all ended in outer darkness. Now, of course, there will be levels of hell. That's for another day. But the bottom line is that whether we just use excuses and don't serve God with our whole hearts, or we absolutely antagonistically work against God, it's the same hell that awaits us. And why? Because there is another theme here, my friends, and this moves us to point number 3. Notice the king comes to the feast, and he had invited, and I love that. You know, of course, this is the image of the Gentiles. When the original invitees didn't come, the king says, just go out into the highways and byways and invite anybody who will come, right? The good, the bad. That's us, by the way, folks. That's you and I. He invites them all to come to the wedding feast. But then notice, when the king himself comes, there's a man without a wedding garment. And he says, friend, what? Hey, how did you get in here? And the man was reduced to silence. And of course, he says, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. And that too seems harsh, doesn't it? Guy's just a wedding crasher here, yeah. Right? Aren't you overreacting? No. Two final points I want to make here, kind of sub-points under this third point. In order to get to heaven, we need the wedding garment. That represents sanctifying grace that's entirely unmerited. We can do absolutely nothing. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't storm heaven on our own. We need the wedding garment, the sanctifying grace that comes to us entirely unmerited through the sacraments, my friends. We need to have a healthy understanding of that, and every day of our lives acknowledging that we've done absolutely nothing to merit this gift of faith and salvation that we possess right now. That is such a crucial, in a sense, it's a first principle of the spiritual life, is to acknowledge that I am powerless. If you remember, we started by saying we're powerless to open the eyes of the blind, right? To help anyone to come to Jesus Christ. We have to be instruments. But we are powerless to open their eyes. Only God can do that. Well, we're also powerless to open our own eyes and to get ourselves to heaven. But the last point I want to make is this. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Jesus also tells us, he that overcomes, if you skip down to verse 5 there, will be dressed in white. That garment that we get entirely unmerited must be preserved by our choosing to continue to walk with Christ. As he said in John 15:4, abide in me. If you continue to abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Verse 5 says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. But, he said, if you do not abide, those who do not abide will be gathered into bundles and cast into the fire. Those who use this wedding garment of Matthew 22 in a sort of once saved, always saved sort of thing are way off, my friends. There is again, very important first principle. We need the grace of God, no doubt about it, in order to have that wedding garment. But we must cooperate and we must overcome if we are going to maintain that wedding garment, keep it clean and spotless at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you.